I want to read to you a passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 15, if you'll turn there quickly. Luke chapter number 15. I have preached from this passage of Scripture as recently as 2007. And then on back, I've looked back this morning about four times over the last 12 years. I've read this passage of Scripture and preached on it here. But I'm going to be very brief this morning. God has just touched me in a wonderful way in this service already, and even beforehand. I got up early this morning and went to see GP, and on the way up, God just really moved on my heart, and I thank him for that. I appreciate the goodness of our Lord. Look with me, please. For the sake of time, I'll not read all of it, but this is one parable. But I do want to read the opening statement in Luke 15 in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. I wonder what it was that drew sinners to Jesus. I wonder what it was that drew these publicans to him. It says in verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, they didn't come to him just for the food. There was something about him that is the characteristic of any good daddy. And what is that characteristic? Look over in chapter 15, but look at verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. The son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found, and they began to be merry. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God in these brief moments through the singing already of the choir, of the ladies' trio, Charles, Jesse. God, I pray already through the testimony of God's people and the poem and other things. God, you've already tended hearts, spoke to hearts. God, through this place being bathed in prayer, God's people seeking you and bathing you in this area, this pulpit area, and this congregation in prayer, that every man, woman, boy, and girl who comes into this building today would experience God. We've prayed for the radio ministry. We've prayed for the internet ministry, that God, that you'd get glory. Our Father, we love you and thank you for what you've done for us. God, have your way and speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as I was driving to the hospital and I was thinking about Father's Day, and I was running in my mind what we would do here today and how we would do it. And I was thinking about sometimes in situations when there are not the best ideal circumstances and children and their daddy. And some children are raised without a father. Sometime somebody gave me something off the internet. And I wished I'd have brought it this morning, but I forgot it. But the story goes that this man was sitting in a restaurant one day, eating, he and another fella, his wife. And this older gentleman came up to him and spoke to him. And the man and wife had a little boy there. And he said, I see how you asked the blessing with your little boy, and you talked to him and all. And that's a wonderful blessing. And he said, can I tell you a story? He said, yeah. He said, you know, he said, I heard about this little boy one time that grew up without a daddy. His daddy was absent. Mama raised him by herself. And he's always embarrassed about that because he didn't have a daddy. Kids at school picked at him, and everywhere he went, they all picked at him. Add to the embarrassment in public settings, quite often in school, the teacher would ask about their father, since the teacher invariably would ask him about his daddy, and he said, I don't have a daddy. And he said, so he's embarrassed all of his life. He got to be up into just a teenage boy. And said he was invited and went to church with some friends. And the pastor was greeting everybody. And he said, this little boy came to the door to go out. He said, son, I hadn't seen you before. Said, who is your daddy? And he said, that preacher asked that question not knowing the circumstance. And he said, the pastor heard a little snickering back in the back from some of the kids. And he said, oh, son, I recognize you now. He said, you're God's child, aren't you? And he said, I am. I belong to the Lord. And he said, that preacher hugged that little boy and he went out. He said, from then on, it didn't bother him when somebody said, who's your daddy? He'd always say, God is my daddy. And he said, the old man gave him that story, and then he left, went by the register and paid, went on out the door. When the young couple went up to pay, they said, did you see the old man talking to us? And they said, we did. And he said, who was that old man? He said, that old man was the former governor of the state of Tennessee. And he's the boy that he just told the story about. No telling what people would do if they could find God as their daddy. Do you know that? This is a wonderful story. Two Sundays ago, Joe Barry sang a song about the prodigal's daddy. I love this story. I've preached it so many times, and I thank God for it. Here's a boy who's raised by a daddy, and the point comes in his life, like most young people, he kind of wanted to do his own thing. And he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And the father gave to him and to his other brother. And the boy went and wasted all of his substance in riotous living. Now, I'm not preaching on all that. You know the story. I'm not talking about the boy. But in the process of time, the boy came to himself. And what do you think about when you come to yourself? Do you think about mistakes he'd made? Do you think about what could have been? According to this passage, when this boy came to himself and he realized what a mess he's in, he didn't think about his friends back in the bar. He didn't think about all those people who'd led him astray. He didn't think about any of those. One person came to his mind, his father. There was something about his father that drew him just like it did these sinners. Now, what was it? It was not his head. Although this man evidently had a good head on his shoulders. He'd amassed a certain amount of money. Evidently had a nice farm or whatever, had an inheritance laid back for both boys, enough to where he could distribute to them at that particular time everything that belonged to them, and then still have enough to live and exist and to keep servants and keep the whole operation going. Had a good head on his shoulders. God has omniscience, the Bible says, teaches. God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. God doesn't have to think about anything. He knows everything instantly. The only thing he ever forgets is what he chooses to forget. And the only thing he ever chose to forget was my sin. He said, I'll cast them behind my back. I'll remember them no more. He chooses not to remember them. But your heavenly Father knows everything. He knows all the beginning from the end. When I sat the other day with GP and the doctor, I had talked with the doctor privately, he and me and Terry, and I knew the situation, and then went in and we talked to GP. I told GP, I said, GP, what's the surprise to us? Didn't surprise God. He knew it before the foundation of the world. Can I tell you today, God knows all about you, knows everything you've ever done, knows where you've been, knows where you're going, knows where you'll be 100 years from now, knows all about it. He knows how to meet every need you've got. He knows how to help you through every situation. He's got all of that. But it was not his head that drew him back home. His daddy evidently had skilled hands, and he could do anything, and had built that fortune before these boys were ever born. He'd already begun to build this thing, and he could get everything together, had everything, had been able to build this big farming operation, whatever it was. He has gift of ability and strength and power. And your Heavenly Father has that too. He can do anything. He's got, I like what the old black preacher said, the Lord is a man of war, and the message is you can't whip him. If God be for us, who could be against us? I'm glad I've got a daddy that you can't whip. I'm glad he can do anything. My God can do anything. We've seen him do that in lives. We've seen him touch people. We've seen him give special grace. We've seen him save. We've seen him provide in impossible situations. And it was not his hands that drew him back. He amassed great treasure with those hands. But it was not his hands that drew him back. What would cause that boy to get up out of a hog pen and go back to his daddy? It gives us a glimpse of it there when he starts home. He's rehearsed what he's going to say to his daddy. But the Bible said while it was a great way off, his father saw him. How did it happen in God's divine providence that that man should just be at that point in time, that strategic point in time? And how was it that he just happened to be looking down that particular road when that boy came into view? It didn't just happen. He'd been doing that ever since he left. Ever since that boy left and gone away, Daddy had been praying for him and preparing for his return. And he'd already got the calf fat and stalled to kill him when he got back. Been feeding him every day. Send those servants out and said, feed that calf colt one of these days. My boy is coming down that road right there, and I'm going to be waiting and watching for him. Can I tell you one thing? For every sinner in here who's ever come home to the Savior, for everybody who's ever fell at an altar, I'm going to tell you right now, you didn't surprise God by getting saved. He's a-looking for you. He'd been waiting for you. He'd been weeping over you and calling to you and extending grace to you. You don't have to talk him into it because of not his hands, but it's the Father's heart that brought him back. He was moved, the Bible said, with compassion. He had compassion on him. It was his heart. He knew his daddy's heart. He said, tell you what kind of daddy I got. Said, my daddy's got hired servants. They ready. He could treat them any way he wanted to. He could work them. Boy, he could abuse them. He could do anything he wanted to. He could do all that. But my daddy's servants have bread enough and to spare. He gives them more than the need. That comes out of my daddy's heart. Doesn't come out of his head. Doesn't come out of his hands. Comes out of my daddy's heart. I got the type of daddy that'll just overbless you. He'll give you more than you ever needed. Oh, listen, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things? It was the Father's heart that drew him back. He came back to a compassionate Father. The Bible said it. He fell on his neck and kissed him. The Father did. What a compassionate man. Here's a man, listen. Can you imagine this man of great prestige has this wonderful farm operation of wealth and all of that? Well known in the community. I know he was. And yet his boy's gone off and rumors come back. We had somebody down yonder in the far country and they said, saw a fellow looked a lot like your boy the other day. Said, he's nasty and dirty and lost everything. Matter of fact, we saw him feeding hogs. Yeah, that was my boy. But you know what? It didn't bother that daddy when that boy come back home to fall on a fella that smelled like a pig and kiss him on the neck. You know why he done that? It was his heart. It was his heart. These guys came and they said, this man receives sinners. They wanted to find some way to accuse him. And they said, this man receiveth and eateth with sinners. And Jesus told him a story to tell you why he'd do that. Can I tell you why this morning he'll save you no matter what you've done and where you've been? Oh, he has a mighty hand. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He has a knowledge beyond anything you could ever imagine in the head of God, because he conceived a plan of salvation that was for whosoever will may come. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll find this when you come to him. He'll save you because of his heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's his heart. It was the Father's heart that drew him back home. And can I say to you, my dear friend, who are Christians in the radio audience and the internet audience and in this building, and you've got away from him, and you lived in a disrespectful way to him, and you brought reproach on his name, can I tell you, it has not in any way affected his love for you. And he wants to put the kiss of pardon on you this morning. If you'd come to him, he'd fall on your neck and give you the kiss of pardon. My dear friend, if you're lost, you say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done, how wicked I've been. I know what Paul said. Paul said, I'm chiefest of sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief. And if God saved the chief, he can save all the Indians. Don't you believe that? If he can save Paul, he can save you. And my dear friend, he can save you this morning because of his heart. You don't have to win his love. You have to receive his love. My dear friend, it's extended to everybody in this radio audience and in the internet audience and here this morning, that if you'll come to this Heavenly Father, he'll save you. Now let me tell you just a little bit about what happened to me this morning. When I was riding up towards Raleigh early this morning, a little after 7 o'clock, I got to thinking about fathers. And I'm thankful for my daddy. But I never saw my daddy pray. Never. Never saw my daddy read a Bible. Never. As far as I know, I never saw my daddy go to church but one time in all his life. I hope my daddy's in heaven. I don't know where he is or not. But I have, over these many years, been blessed by good men that God's put in my life to be a godly example to me, as somebody talked about a while ago. And I thank the Lord for them. And I was thinking about daddies and men and all. And it dawned on me while I was riding up Interstate 40 that here I am on Father's Day. And I didn't thank my father. And boy, God moved across my heart. And I said, Father, thank you for saving me. Father, thank you for forgiving all my sin. Thank you for my wife, Father. Thank you for my children, and thank you for my grandchildren, and thank you for my health, and thank you for the millions of miles I've driven. And God, you've kept me safe. Father, thank you for safe traveling mercies. Father, thank you for what you let me do and see. Thank you for the folk you've let me pastor and the places I've been. Thank you for saving souls. And for God, thank you for meeting every need I've ever had. Boy, God just moved in my car, and I just wept and cried. Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, listen, there's an old song that some people sing, and I wish I could sing it this morning. But it says, my Father is omnipotent. On this you cannot deny. He goes on and he says that he can do anything. But the verse says this, it took a miracle. It took a miracle to save my soul. The greatest thing your daddy has ever done for you, your Heavenly Father, is he wants you to be his child. Amen. Wants you to be his child and to be in heaven with him. What a blessing. What a daddy.